This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black, and we're going space engineering and space exploring. It is 12th anniversary of Behind the Black Foundation, and all these years, Bob has explicated the successes that would be commercial space, the disappointments that would be manned space, especially as practiced by big space, and also the mysteries of discoveries in our solar system, such as return samples from asteroids and comets, and what we're finding on the surface of Mars, and anticipating Venus and the clouds of Venus. So your subscriptions, your donations are extremely well appreciated by Bob and myself. Thank you very much. And we're going immediately to Bob's reporting on Capstone, a very promising mission from NASA. But communication lost. This is a worrisome thing. Perhaps there's good news. Bob, they've lost communication. What is Capstone, and what is there an update? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, first of all, there's an update. Communications were recovered. They figured out that the communications blackout, which was for about a full day, occurred apparently due to a software conflict between different software and human error. They had a conflict in software, and then they sent up, improperly formatted command. And that, to try to fix the software issue, it wasn't a critical issue, but they wanted to fix it, but the command being improperly formatted caused the stasis, that made the radio inoperable, their words. And so, fortunately, the spacecraft operated properly on board, and it eventually rebooted the radio so it would function again, and they regained communications. In fact, things were doing so well on the spacecraft that on Thursday they were able to do a mid-course correction only a few hours later than was originally planned. And so everything is going good for a November 13th arrival in lunar orbit. The mission itself is to test that particular kind of orbit. It's an unusual orbit, and all orbits around the moon are unstable, so you need to test them. This is the orbit that the lunar gateway NASA wants to put it in, and so Capstone is going to test that. And Capstone is also a CubeSat, which is also testing interplanetary flight with a CubeSat. So that's what the mission's about, and it's gung-ho right now, John. Looks good.
And Bob, losing communication, is that a routine anomaly that has happened before and they don't fuss with it, or does it indicate something's broken?
When you lose communication with a satellite when you don't expect to, that's a bad thing. That's a very bad thing, because you don't know if you're going to get it back again. If you can't communicate, if there's something wrong that you can't communicate to fix, then it's a very bad thing. It doesn't happen very often, but if it does happen, it's an on-off thing. It's either you're going to save the spacecraft somehow, it's going to come back to life, or you'll never hear from it again. And so this was very fortunate they got it back again.
We go to Rocket Lab, commercial space, and a success. Anticipated success. What are they going to try to pull off? Is this a stunt?
No, it's not a stunt. Now, Rocket Lab, by the way, is the company that launched Capstone. One of the things Capstone was demonstrating is that private enterprise can do this. NASA paid for the mission, but everything has been built, launched, designed, and operated by private companies. NASA's only paying for it. And so Rocket Lab is the company that launched it. It's a small sat rocket company that's trying to push for quick launch capabilities and inexpensive launch capabilities. And this is something the military's been trying to foster and encourage for decades. The big space companies could never give it to them, but in the last few years, these small sat rocket companies have been increasingly successful. And so to demonstrate this, the National Reconnaissance Office has awarded a two launch contract to Rocket Lab to complete two different launches within 10 days in this month, July 12th and then the 22nd, to demonstrate the ability of the company to quickly launch reconnaissance satellites for the NRO. And so this is very quickly been scheduled. It wasn't on the launch manifest until yesterday or the day before. And so now they have these two missions, and they're going to put them up, and they're going to do it 10 days apart. Both will launch from New Zealand, I suspect. They'll both launch from New Zealand. Once again, this is not a stunt. This is to demonstrate the capability. And all these small-sat rocket companies are beginning to accomplish this, like Astra and Rocket Lab, and there's a whole bunch coming online in the next year or so, John.
The publicly traded company Virgin Galactic is addressing a problem that Bob identified some time ago. It's been a long time waiting for successful commercial launches, rides into suborbital rides. But in any event, White Knight 2 needs attention. What is White Knight 2, Bob?
White Knight 2 is the mothership that launches Virgin Galactic's Spaceship 2 suborbital craft, reusable suborbital craft. This company promised hundreds of flights a year by 2005. 2005 was, I think, 17 years ago. And they've been promising over and over and over again. They've completed one commercial passenger flight that was in July of 21. That was the one Richard Branson flew on. That flight was quickly whipped together so that they could get off the ground before Blue Origin's New Shepard suborbital craft. Since then, they were going to have additional flights in 21. They delayed them until 22, and then they later delayed them until next year. No commercial flights until next year. And the reason was they needed to do a complete overhaul of White Knight 2, the mothership. Well, it appears that in trying to do the complete overhaul of this aging mothership, which has had some, age problems, Virgin Galactic has now realized they need to replace it. So they've now announced that they've hired Aurora, which is a subsidiary company of Boeing, to build two new motherships. The first will operate sometime in 2025, they claim. Virgin Galactic, it's interesting because Virgin Galactic once was a company supposedly capable of doing all this construction itself. It now has to contract out for it. It can't do it itself. It also means that White Knight 2 probably might not fly next year. We don't know. It's very questionable. They claim that once these new ships are built, they'll be doing 400 flights a year. Ha, I don't believe that for a second. They've been making those kind of promises for now almost two decades, and they haven't accomplished anything. Their stock price now is at $7 a share, which is well below the initial offering price of $12, and I expect it to fall even more, John.
The Air Force, I presume, is making a missile test that failed. Now, rockets blowing up teaches things. What did we learn from this, Bob?
Well, they're not telling us. It's a military program. But this week, the military, I think it's the Air Force, was testing a new upgraded rocket, ballistic missile. Not a rocket, a ballistic missile, to replace the Minuteman ballistic missiles that are part of our defense system, nuclear defense system. And the thing they were going to test was a Minotaur 2 Plus rocket, which is to replace the first stage, and then the warhead delivery system. They call it the reentry vehicle. This is basically the thing that is the second stage that brings the warhead down to the ground accurately. They didn't get to test that, though. That was the main part of the test because the thing blew up 11 seconds after launch. That's all we really know. We don't know why, where, and how for. There is an interesting aspect of this. It appears that the press office of this the Air Force base in New Mexico didn't realize that they were not on the same time zone as California Vandenberg, and so they announced the launch would take place on Wednesday of this week. Instead, it took place just after midnight on Thursday. I think that just indicates the general overall incompetence of our modern federal government, which is, I think, maybe where the source of the problem really is, John.
Commercial spaceport in China. Explain, please, Bob. That doesn't seem entirely convincing.
It's not only not convincing, it isn't true, but it is happening in a Chinese sort of way. So China has a spaceport. Its newest spaceport is in Wangchang City on the island of Hainan. This is a southern launch point along the ocean, so they don't have to dump boosters on their own people. And they've been using it for the government launches. But they've now announced that they have just done groundbreaking on a launch site that would be for commercial purposes only, dedicated to commercial space. Problem is, this is a Chinese commercial space, so everything, it's on the Wangchang spaceport. Everything there is supervised by the government, so even so-called private companies are really not private. They are getting permission to do what they're doing from the military government and the communist Chinese. And so they're now going to build a launch point for their commercial companies, their pseudo-commercial companies, and they've broken ground on it. That's about this. You can say about it, John.
Bob, I want to just touch on Rocket Lab one more time because I'm reading a book by Eric Berger about the early days of SpaceX. It is really hard to build a rocket engine. from scratch. And when you do build one and it's successful, you have a great achievement that is available to around the world. That's SpaceX's story. But I see now in your consistent reporting of Rocket Lab that this is another, a very rosy scenario for its future, Rocket Lab.
Yes, every one of the companies that wishes to become successful, they need to build their rocket engine successfully first. Once you've got your rocket engine, you build the rocket around it. And building the engine is the hard part. And so SpaceX has had great success with its both its Raptor and its Merlin engines. Companies like Blue Origin with its BE-4 engine, they've had serious problems and they're delayed. So you can't take them too seriously until they succeed. Virgin Galactic is an example of a failure. They decided to build a rocket engine based upon environmental concerns first. And the result of that is the engine wasn't really built and designed before they built the spacecraft. So the spacecraft couldn't really launch with the rocket engine they had. That's one of the reasons they had major delays. So this is how you determine good companies versus bad. The ones that succeed. The ones that fail are the ones that don't seem to get things done.
You need a rocket engine that works, and it takes a lot of luck to get one. And when you have it, you've got a ticket to ride. Bob Zimmerman, this is happy birthday to Bob Zimmerman's website, Behind the Black, 12 years. Your donations and subscriptions are welcome. We're going to Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.